You're listening to Lozano Smith's podcast, where we discuss important changes in the law and legal decisions that affect public agencies.
Welcome to the Lozano Smith podcast. I'm one of your Lozano Smith podcast hosts, Karen Resendez. This is the second of a series of Lozano Smith podcasts highlighting what school leaders need to know about artificial intelligence, otherwise known as AI. Today, we're diving into this fascinating and important topic, the use of AI in special education and the legal issues surrounding it. I'm very lucky to be joined today by two outstanding legal experts from our special education practice group who will help us understand the intersection of special education and AI. Sarah Garcia is the office managing partner of Lozano Smith San Luis Obispo office. She specializes in special education and student law and is a former public school teacher. Sarah is a frequent presenter at the Access Special Education Symposium, at Lozano Smith Special Education Legal Consortium, at the State SELPA ADR Conference, and for school districts and SELPAs throughout the state. Karina Demirchian is also an attorney in our San Luis Obispo office. She specializes in serving our public school district clients regarding their special education obligations under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act and regarding all other student-related issues, including, but not limited to, student privacy, student rights, and records issues. Karina also worked as a legal intern for San Francisco Unified and Oakland Unified. So, with our esteemed panel, let's dive into this fascinating and important topic, the use of AI in special education and the legal landscape surrounding it. We will focus on artificial intelligence, LLM models and platforms, and hope that during our brief time together, we can highlight the optimistic view of AI's potential for special education and services for students, along with a critical examination of its limitations and challenges. To start, let's demystify what we mean by AI in the context of special ed. Sarah, can you enlighten us?
Absolutely. In special education, AI can offer individualized learning experiences, assistive technologies for students with disabilities, and data-driven insights to support educational goals. From adaptive learning software to speech recognition and predictive analytics, AI has the potential to improve and address the diverse learning needs of students, and specifically those with disabilities. For example, predictive software can enable speech-generating devices to provide more options in real time to nonverbal students so that they can choose vocabulary and communication without needing to type every word or to scroll through pages of icons on a device. Most listeners are likely familiar with this concept because similar software shows them likely word options on their smartphones when they're texting. The same can be available and beneficial to nonverbal students. AI also has the potential to improve the efficiency of teachers and staff supporting students with disabilities, from differentiating learning standards in a lesson plan to modifying a specific assignment to an individual level. The potential uses of AI in the classroom are exploding, and we really are just at the beginning.
So, Sarah, when you say to an individual level, are you talking about individualizing the support that's provided to a student? Can you just speak a little bit on that?
Yeah, I really am talking about being able to take one lesson plan and use AI from a data-driven perspective, either using the individual student's baseline information or past progress on the same skill, to allow the AI model to learn where that student is functioning and where the student needs to be taught at an instructional level in order to make appropriate progress. And being able to take one lesson or one assignment and to feed that into an LLM model to generate an individual option for every student in the classroom is a reality.
That's incredible. Now turning to the legal side of things, hopefully that incredible opportunity isn't dampened by regulation, but is it, Karina, can you tell us a little bit about how AI in special ed is being regulated or will be regulated?
So because these technologies are so new, the legal framework is evolving. In the United States, laws like the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, set the stage for the legal framework. With AI's emergence, we are seeing updates and new guidelines mainly focused on ensuring accessibility, privacy, and non-discrimination. For example, recent updates emphasize AI's compliance with educational equity, privacy, and data protection standards.
Sarah?
I know there has been a lot of regulation that is starting to be discussed and developed regarding the significant concerns existing regarding data privacy and security. And I think that's especially relevant to this topic of AI in special education, because we are talking about minors and disability needs. So I think before we even discuss the other risks and concerns associated with AI itself or the benefits thereof, we really have to be sure that we've addressed those confidentiality and privacy concerns. Special education students' data is extremely sensitive. And AI, by its very nature, these LLM models that we're discussing, by their very nature, they require the collecting, analyzing, and storing of vast amounts of data, because that's how the models learn. They require that data to be input. So while AI is combing the data to perform its assigned functions, we have to wonder how else might that data be used? Are there other ways it could be combed? How can we protect that from happening? And also, we have to acknowledge that anytime data is stored, there's a risk of breach. And we have to be prepared for what that means with the sensitive information. So for those reasons, school staff really need to make sure that they are inputting anonymous information into these LLMs, that student names are not attached, that identifying information is not attached. You know, we can't scan in an IEP that includes page one of addresses and phone numbers and parent contact information and student names and birthdays. We really need to make sure we're protecting that privacy for our students.
Thank you, Sarah. Karina, are there other concerns regarding the intersection of AI and special education?
There are definitely other concerns. I think another critical issue is the potential for AI to perpetuate or even exacerbate biases. AI systems are only as unbiased as the data they're trained on, right? So if the underlying data reflects historical inequalities or biases, AI can reinforce those issues and lead to discriminatory practices or unequal access to educational opportunities. One example of this includes AI tools like virtual test proctoring software that can disproportionately flag students with disabilities for disability-related movements like eye gaze directions or hand motions. So if schools are utilizing virtual test proctoring software, that's certainly something we want them to be aware of.
That's really interesting and useful to be conscious of when districts are considering different tools that may include AI. What are the unintended, potentially discriminatory effects of different models of software and platforms and AI LLMs? That's really helpful to know, Karina. Alongside legal requirements, are there any ethical considerations? And if so, Karina, what do you think the main ethical challenges are for using AI in the area of special education and with students with special needs?
I think the main ethical challenges would be human oversight and accountability. So humans, particularly adults, need to stay in the loop throughout the use of AI technologies and, you know, stay accountable for these high-stakes decisions that are being made regarding students. Some key challenges include ensuring AI tools don't inadvertently reinforce biases like we just talked about, that they maintain student privacy, and of course, that the technology serves as a support, not a replacement for human interaction with teachers, speech and language pathologists, paraeducators, and other related service providers, and of course, other students as well. So It's crucial that educators and developers work together to create AI solutions that are ethical, inclusive, and beneficial for all students. Humans really need to be the decision makers and continue to be the human in the loop when addressing and assessing the individualized needs for each student.
So as you reminded us before, AI is a tool and not a creature, and it does have to be supervised and monitored. So let's talk about some real world applications and maybe some success stories. Sarah, can you share some success stories regarding AI and the intersection with special education and students?
Certainly, I can. There are several examples that I personally have been inspired by where AI is already really making a significant impact for our students. For instance, I am familiar with one particular student who has significant expressive vocabulary deficits, and verbal communication is especially difficult for him because of a word find deficit. Locating those words and that vocabulary in his brain and translating that to allow him to verbally communicate is a significant challenge. Not because he doesn't know the vocabulary, not because he doesn't have the information, but just finding the words is his challenge. And in that situation, he has been provided with AI software to generate vocabulary options for him on a device in live time, to allow him for both verbal and written communication to have a variety of options available to him to choose from, to bypass that deficit as it's happening in his own processing, to speed up that communication and make it more efficient and more successful for him. Previous to this AI software, he would have been provided with a static hard copy list of words to search through, which doesn't become more efficient than the processing deficit that he already had and is limited to a certain number of words. This AI software can learn as it goes and generate words in live time, just really making the communication process more successful for him. Another example is a student with social difficulties who previously was being read social stories or given social stories to read that had been written by a teacher or a speech pathologist to address a social situation, to allow the student to learn strategies to use during those social difficulties. Now, that student has been given AI opportunities to interact through a software program socially, to play out these real-life scenarios rather than reading about them in a social story, to become a participant in the social interaction in a structured, supervised, and safe way for the student to practice those social skills. These stories highlight AI's potential to really enhance educational opportunities and to foster a more inclusive learning environment for these students with disabilities. And there are a variety of other ways that AI is being explored to expand student benefit, including using past progress data and current baseline measurement to develop individualized, tailored, appropriately ambitious goals. Using individual baseline measurement to modify lesson plans, as we talked about earlier, to ensure that there is enough differentiation to meet the needs of all students in the classroom and to meet those students where they are. To modify individual lesson plans based on individual goals, to allow for the practice of skills in real time with an AI learning partner that can be supervised and structured, but still a real life interaction rather than taking that out of context for students. And there are so many other opportunities. Of course, as these examples continue to develop, we have to learn to assess, for example, whether the vocabulary being presented in an assignment is truly a reflection of the student's skill or of the technology that they're using, and whether that matters in a world where that technology is now available. Just like spell check changed the way we think about spelling, change spelling as a skill forever in our world. These technologies are going to change the way we measure things. So while we struggle with, does the student using AI to generate vocabulary really have that vocabulary skill? We also have to struggle with, is that important if they're always going to have this technology available? And learning to change our expectations as we change the use of the technology, to understand the skills themselves and how those are likely to develop moving forward.
Those are super inspirational examples, Sarah. Do you know, with the student that was using the AI model for social interactions, do you know if the teachers or the speech and language pathologists involved in supporting the student were able to design the interactions that the student really had need to explore and practice ahead of time? Or is it pre-canned and here are your social interactions and, you know, pick A, B, or C? Or is it really customized for the student?
In the example that I gave you, it really was able to be customized. And the speech pathologist using the program was able to create a scenario with an AI learning conversation partner where, by setting up the facts of the scenario ahead of time and then allowing the student to chat with the AI partner, the student was able to engage in real time with a peer model in this situation to explore the social skills around a specific topic, rather than the speech pathologist having to give them choices or having to guide them through a social story that already has a preconceived ending. The model itself was able, through this interaction, to respond to the child in lifetime, allowing the child to engage in the exchanges that made it really valuable in that moment.
That's a wonderful example of how AI can serve as an accommodation and also a learning tool. So that's amazing. Can we move from that topic a little bit into the critical aspect of special education, you know, from the beginning, the individualized education program, IEP meetings, all the participants in IEP meetings. I know that these meetings are pivotal for students with disabilities and that it involves parents, teachers, and other stakeholders in planning personalized educational plans and paths. How is AI starting to play a significant role when it comes to IEPs, IEP meetings, parent involvement? Let's discuss that. Karina, can you share a little bit?
Sure. So we know that IEP meetings can be very complex, right? They require careful consideration of each student's educational needs, their present abilities, and what their future goals are going to look like. AI tools can assist in these meetings by, one, analyzing vast amounts of educational data to suggest personalized learning strategies and accommodations that can be most effective for a particular student. As we've mentioned before, the tools really need to ensure the privacy and confidentiality of student data. One exciting use of AI, I think, is its ability to analyze past performance data and behavioral patterns to predict future learning outcomes, which makes it easier for IEP teams to set realistic and achievable goals for students. There's also emerging software that helps in drafting the IEP documents themselves to make sure that they're comprehensive and tailored to a student's individualized needs, which is going to save valuable time for all members involved. And then even though AI can be used as a support for parents and teachers at IEP meetings, again, we want to emphasize that in addition to privacy considerations, issues of accuracy and potential bias need to be evaluated by the IEP team to ensure that the IEPs themselves are accurate.
So continuing with the theme of humans in the loop, AI may be able to streamline the IEP process in the future, but what about right now in terms of support for parents and teachers? How can AI potentially make their roles easier and more effective? Sarah?
One of the most significant advantages of AI available to us is the ability to really empower parents. AI-driven platforms can provide parents with accessible insights into their child's progress and offer them recommendations for at-home support. This can really serve to demystify the educational process and enable parents to be more involved in really meaningful ways. Oftentimes, parents will say they want to help more, they want to support their students more, but they don't understand the educational pieces of it enough to know how to develop something or what to do next. And the AI software really can support them through some of those struggles. AI is also fostering better communication between parents and school staff, teachers, school administrators, better communication regarding progress, upcoming meetings, concerns that might be had, achievements that students are making, really ensuring that everyone is on the same page and working together towards student success. But again, while these advancements are promising, it's essential to proceed with caution to make sure that as we're using this for communication, we're really protecting student privacy and ensuring that those tools are being used ethically and responsibly. The AI communication software tools seem to be getting out a little bit in front of, in some situations, the privacy and confidentiality concerns that we want to make sure are in place. The goal is, as we've been talking about, to enhance human interaction, not to replace it, to make sure there is that human in the loop, to make sure that a human is supervising the use of these tools and not using them in their stead, especially when it comes to communication with parents. Parents need to continue to hear from real people about their children, whether or not the technology is available to do that for them.
That's so important, Sarah. So very valuable discussion. As we wrap up today's episode, I'd like to ask each of our guests, Karina and Sarah, for a brief outlook on the future of AI in special education. What trends or developments should we watch out for?
I think the introduction of generative AI makes this a really exciting time for special education because it impacts the role of each member of an IEP team, from students to parents, to educators and service providers. The ability of AI to adapt instructional materials to cater to diverse learning styles and abilities is definitely something I hope our audience pays attention to, because there's this powerful opportunity to streamline the process of individualizing learning opportunities for all students. I think that safely utilizing AI technologies enables us to further the goals at the heart of the IDEA, which I think is a big takeaway from today's episode.
Thank you, Karina. Sarah, what are you excited about and what concerns do you have?
I am excited about the possibilities presented by AI for our students and our teachers and our staff. But as with every educational reform that we've seen in our lifetime, the adoption of something new will require new learning and understanding to be effective and appropriate. For every benefit, I think there's a concern that we also must think through. AI can assist in the developing of social skills, like we talked about in that powerful example of the speech pathologist using that with the individual student. But we have to ensure that students continue to learn to socialize with each other and not just with AI bots. AI can help us communicate more effectively with parents, but relationships require communication to build trust, and that requires human interaction. AI learns from the information we give it, but student privacy must be protected. So we have to learn how to give it information without giving it information it shouldn't have. I am most excited that AI offers amazing opportunities to increase inclusivity and access for students with disabilities. The ability to use these systems to differentiate learning for every learner in the classroom is such an amazing opportunity to move even further towards inclusivity. But we need to know how to overcome the potential biases embedded in those systems from the past information that we are giving it that may be based on systems that weren't as inclusive as they could have been. So as we move towards inclusivity, we have to learn how to overcome that bias from the past. And we have a lot of opportunity that we can explore here, but we also have a lot to learn. So I'm excited about the challenges. I'm excited about the opportunities. I'm excited about all of the things we don't know yet, because this technology is developing faster than we can imagine. And so I'm excited about the progress that can be made and where we can be headed and getting there together.
It's so great to have this conversation with you, Sarah and Karina, as you talk about this exciting period that we're entering into, and for your insights and your time today, and to our listeners for joining us on this journey into the intersection of AI, special education, and the law. The road ahead is promising, but requires careful navigation to ensure that technological advancements benefit all students equally and ethically. Today was the second of a series of Lizanna Smith podcasts regarding AI. Please join us for future AI podcasts focused on labor and employment issues, public agency and school governance, facilities and business, and more. If you would like additional information about today's topic, please visit Lizanna Smith's AI resources page, and please visit our podcast page at lizannasmith.com/podcast. Additionally, please subscribe to our podcast and sign up to receive our firm's client news briefs so you don't miss the latest in the world of California public agency law. Until next time, take care.
If you have any questions about this topic, please contact the hosts of this episode or an attorney at any of our 8 offices throughout California. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. As the information contained in this podcast is necessarily general, its application to a particular set of facts and circumstances may vary. For this reason, this podcast does not constitute legal advice. We recommend that you consult with your counsel prior to acting on the information you heard.